Life.
Table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy. And protection.
Fairness.
Fair time.
Citizens.
Right.
Will.
Peace.
Movement.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raised the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
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 Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Progress.
Culture.
Human rights.
Charter Dana.
Solid.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on SaskTel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, with my co-host Gord Barnes, and our special guest, Sheena Koops. Welcome, Sheena.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be here.
And Sheena, I understand you are a teacher in Fort Capel at the Burt Fox School?
Yeah, Burt Fox Community High School.
Okay. And your sort of focus is, I guess in everything you do, but including teaching, is treaty rights. Am I right?
About 3 years ago, in 2011... I woke up to treaties. I hadn't really learned much about the treaties. And in 2008, they were actually implemented Saskatchewan-wide, that we were supposed to be giving treaty education across the curriculum. But I didn't know much about the treaties. And so I did my master's thesis in 2006, and I talked about anti-racism. But I don't even know if I mentioned the treaties in my whole thesis. And so when I started listening, I started hearing about treaty, I realized that was a big piece in my own education that was missing. And so in 2011, I got this idea while reading The Artist Way, the book, and doing morning pages. I don't know if you're familiar with that book by Julia Cameron. But she gives you this practice of doing morning pages. Every morning you get up and you write 3 pages in longhand as a access into your artist self. She believes everyone is creative, and that's one way to access
so
that.
So it's basically a journaling exercise.
Yeah, sort of. And you'll hear people talk about their morning pages, and that comes from her. So in my morning pages I wrote, I need to get into better shape. I should start walking to school. And as I walk to school, I will meditate on the treaties. And it just sort of came out, this stream of consciousness. And you're not really supposed to worry too much about what you write there. You're just, you know, you're just getting it out on the page and then you can move on to your day. But that haunted me all summer long. It was in the spring that I had written that. And all summer long, I kept thinking, am I going to walk to school? Am I going to meditate on the treaties? What is meditation anyway? You know, and but it came down to the day before school, and I sat down in front of a computer and I figured out how to make a blog all by myself. I didn't even yell for help. I just thought, I can do this. My sister-in-law blogs. I can do this. And so, and I had been playing around with, you know, what would I call this blog? And I thought, well, baby steps or something. And treaty walks came to me. And so I started blogging. That next day, I walked to school, which is about a 35-minute walk past the ski hill.
That was my next question.
Past the ski hill, past the governance center, past the Treaty 4 powwow grounds, past the All Nations Healing Hospital, and into Fort Capel. So it's about 35 minutes one way. So I walked to school, took pictures, walked home, and then I would blog each day. And I did that for 200 days, thinking about the treaties. And so that was kind of the beginning of my education on the treaties. Yeah.
Right.
Wow, that's an amazing introduction, Sheena. and we're so appreciative of you coming in today.
Oh,
it's
thank
been
you.
A bit of a trip in. But
yes.
We really appreciate this. I don't know if you're coming in again tomorrow for the powwow.
Oh,
the,
I'm actually not. I saw that it was being advertised. Yeah.
The 37th annual powwow,
I believe it is.
And
yes.
I know that attracts, like, I think they mm-hmm. said last year over 7,000 people to Regina, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. fabulous. But so where do people find your blog? Just as a good way to start.
It's www.treatywalks.blogspot.com.
Okay. Wow. And you've been doing that for the last how many years then?
Well, in 2011, 2012, I did 200 days,
right.
kind of representing the school year.
Right.
And then the next year, I think I maybe walked about 100 days. And then the following year, I kind of was burnt out and I didn't blog really at all. Almost like I needed time to just to sit and maybe even learn what meditation really is.
Mm-hmm.
I did some self-work around that. And then just this past year, I've kind of got some maybe clarity around, like, what is it that I'm trying to say? Which direction is it that I need to go as an educator, as a Canadian citizen, as a settler descendant? I think that's really important, that I'm here today as a white person, as a European descent, a settler descendant, these different, ways of naming ourselves. I think mm-hmm. it's really important that we step into our side of the treaty handshake,
because
lots of times when we hear about treaty, we think that's a First Nations issue with little quotes around it, or we used to say First Nations people were treaty people. We would use that, but actually settlers, we are treaty people, and that's the Office of the Treaty Commissioners. And that's actually probably was the thing that first resonated with me when they are telling us we are all treaty people. And in Saskatchewan, every bit of land is under treaty. You know, Treaty 8, Treaty 6, Treaty 4 mm-hmm. down here.
Where we are.
Yeah, where mm-hmm. we are. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
And I think that's one of the things that people often sort of forget is that the treaties are not just about, you know, where people live on reserve, but the treaties are all about all of Saskatchewan and other parts of Canada too, where there are treaties. And in some cases, I guess there aren't.
Well, I was just out in British Columbia and I had been up to north to Quesnel a couple years ago when I was quite actively treaty walking, as I called it. And so I saw the band office there and I thought, and I recognized that it's a close to a Dene language, like they're, and I lived in northern Saskatchewan in Treaty 8 on a Dene Reserve in Black Lake for 5 years. And so I recognized some of the language. So I was in northern BC and I thought, oh, I can go in. Maybe I can meet an elder. And I started talking to this one lady, and there was an elder in the building, and she was visiting with me a little bit. And I could see the lady behind the desk was starting to, I could see she was thinking, you know, kind of, who is this white girl? What's she asking all these questions about? Like, what's making you tick? And finally she looked up and she said, we're not treaty here. You know,
interesting.
And for me as a Saskatchewan person, you know, learning about we're all treaty people. Yeah. Well, BC, the territory was never ceded. Not that it was here either, because it was ceded is a pretty loaded word. But yeah. And so then I just went out to Vancouver this past when was that? Just February. I was at a conference called Provoking Curriculum, a national curriculum conference, And so then I started looking up, you know, kind of 2 years later, doing a little bit of research around BC treaties. And they've about, you know, 7-8 years ago, there was a lot of movement in modern treaty making, but then it has totally stalled out. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of have asked a few people, you know, I'm such a learner in this. I'm not an expert, but I'm just trying to ask questions and kind of, you know, so BC, like in one of my blog posts, I put, what do we do once we learn we're treaty people? Well, we need to learn our treaty stories, you know, and so my people came, some from Ontario under peace and friendship treaties, but most of my grandparents from Treaty 4 area, they were allowed to settle here peacefully because of Treaty 4. But one of my questions in this blog post is, and what do you do if there's no treaty?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what's your responsibility? Because then that means that actually you are living on land that has never been negotiated. Your family has been using that land without any kind of compensation, without any kind of trade. And so I think that's pretty heavy. All you BC people out there, get on that already.
So I was so impressed with the number of people who are looking at your blog. It's amazing the numbers of people that are going there and taking the time to read it and share it as well. It's really...
Oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah. I'm not even sure where it goes once it goes out there.
But well, I think you're doing a wonderful job in terms of sharing information, sharing ideas, and creating a discussion too, and that's why we wanted you to be here today. It's just been wonderful that you've been able to take the time. So
yeah, thank you.
You've got one interesting part of your blog where you talk about unsettling.
Yes, that's new for me.
Okay,
just within the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months or. There's a woman, Paulette Regan, and I have not read her book yet,
okay. But
it's called, in the title is Unsettling the Settler Within or something like that. Sorry for saying that wrong. I wrote it somewhere, but I'm not sure where my notes are. Right.
Okay.
But so I saw this unsettling and it just captured my imagination because of the layered meanings. You know, like as settlers, I've learned to call myself a settler descendant because it seems to be fairly accurate. Instead of saying white, I when I was doing my anti-racism work, I was very, it felt very important to name myself as white because we name the other races, but we don't name whiteness and we don't understand the privilege and the power, you know, and we just kind of think it's, everybody has this privilege and power. So I learned about unpacking whiteness, but then when I came into treaty discussions, and the Office of the Treaty Commissioner was using the phrase settler descendant, and it's like, oh, that, you know, so I try that on. So anyway, unsettling hits that idea of, you know, we're settlers, but colonizers, part of the colonization of Canada. And so so right now I'm really thinking about what does it mean as a white person, as a settler descendant to decolonize, and what does it mean as a white person and as a settler descendant to indigenize, and then what does it mean to unsettle, you know? And then, of course, I love the unsettledness, like the upsetness, the frustration, the angst, at a conference I spoke at in October, at the end of the session, I was talking about my treaty walks, and I said, go forth. I said, I have a benediction for you. I said, go forth and be awkward. You know, and that was, and I was just learning about this phrase, unsettled. But I think it's, and so today, the reason I was late coming in here, and thank you for your gracious whisking me into your studio, I was on the phone with two Cree speakers that are in my life that I really should have contacted a month ago when I wrote a song that I used some of the words that I've learned, Cree words that were behind the treaties, that the elders wanted. This was such important philosophies, and the spirit and the intent of the treaties are captured in these three words. So I wrote this song. I put these three words in. Then I go off to Vancouver. I sing this song, except I totally, you know, don't say these words correctly. And I should have contacted people, but that's part of the awkwardness of this kind of work, because I was kind of embarrassed to, you know, how do you say this word in Cree? You know, and it's awkward. It makes, you know, it deprivileges me. Mm-hmm. And so to do that, like, you just have to do it. You just have to be awkward and ask, and people are so gracious. So today, as I've been cooking a turkey this morning, I'm at a fiddle camp, I'm doing all this crazy stuff, and then I have to get here for this interview because I'm so excited to talk about the treaties. And so then I had texted these two friends. One's an elder, and one's my daughter's best friend's dad, who's a fluent Cree speaker and teaches out at Papikasis. So I texted them what I should have texted them a month ago, asking them, like, can you help me? So then Mike right away, you know, texts back, sure, he'll phone me. So he teaches me as I'm, you know, on my speaker phone, and then I have to pull over so I can write down. You know, so I'm using myself right now as an example of being unsettled.
Right.
Like, it's so important. I'm an English teacher. And so English took away the language of the people. Mm-hmm. You know, and I remember reading an article called How to Teach English in the Least Harmful Way. You know, because really, as an English teacher, and I'm up there teaching Shakespeare or whatever, I'm part of the machine of colonization. I represent, you know, this, the language of the colonizer, you know, all that kind of loaded stuff. And so for me to, you know, like, just learn three Cree words, Sheena, how hard is that? But it's unsettling because it's not my comfort zone, and people are so gracious. So within the 45 minutes of driving into town, both Elder Alma Putra from Papikasis as well, she texted me back, sure, call me right away. And then I'm thinking, I should have done that a month ago, and I should have followed protocol. And I know this, I've been taught, when you're asking an elder for information. And I knew when I wrote the song, I need to go to Alma with some tobacco. And I knew that she would be very gracious and share her wisdom, because the elders say, don't be stingy. Mm. You know, they have that wonderful openness when you're asked. You know, when you give an elder tobacco, they just feel like, okay, I'm here to serve you, and thank you for honoring, you know, and doing this in a good way. So I'm on the phone with Alma doing this in a not good way, you know, because I'm rushing, and then she's so kind, and she said, okay, I think we'll meet some, and she didn't know why I was asking, and so I'm trying to explain this, but just so gracious, and why didn't I do this a month ago, is my question to myself, and I'm happy to be awkward in front of you, and to kind of demonstrate as white people, as the colonizers, we have to decolonize. We have to go to those, open up those spaces where it's possible to be the learner and the listener. And so, thank you for listening.
Just as you're talking.
Thank you for that confessional.
Well, and just as you're talking about your own experience and how you have traveled today and over the last month, I'm thinking of the expression, it's because I use it myself, and I'm very good at this, is I trip over my own shoelaces quite often.
Yes.
You know, it's a different perspective, but I think that... So are you at the point where you feel good about playing your song?
Yeah.
Is this a good time for you to do that
program? I would love to play this song. So when I was going to my conference in Vancouver, and I was going to talk about treaties, I titled the session Treaty Walks, From Bully to Benevolence and White Back Again. You know, because I've been called a bully because my opinions are too strong and I overwhelm people because I get passionate. But then also I'm the benevolence, the lady benevolence, where I'm the hero and I'm so wonderful because I'm, being so open-minded and stuff. And so that's a trap as well. And then white back again, as you think about this, I'm always reminded that, I'm speaking out of my power as a white person. I'm speaking out of my privilege. And so anyway, big, heavy, I made the title before maybe I knew what I wanted to even say. And so I had that context and I thought, well, man, I've learned so much and I'm going to show up there at the conference and I'm just going to go blah, 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 blah. And it's going to be all over the place. And the conference provoking curriculum was really focused on, they wanted performances and drama and they wanted things out of the box of a regular conference. And so I thought, well, I play guitar. Sometimes I write songs. Can I write a song that would kind of encapsulate what it is that I've been learning about the treaties? And so I sat down and so I got me a song.
Wow.
But just today, I phoned Mike Cook from Fort Capel, my friend, and he was so patient to go over. So there's three words in this song that'll be near the end of the song, and these are the three Cree words that are behind treaty from the First Nations worldview. And treaties were supposed to show that we could get along with each other. And so let's see if Mike, I don't know, I don't think you're listening, Mike, but here I'm going to try to say this. Mio wi chau toin. He said, if you say it faster, it sounds better. But I don't know if I can say it faster. That's the first one. And then Pimachihoin means that making a living, how you make a living. And so in treaty, both sides were supposed to be able to make a living. It was never supposed to be one more privileged over the other. And then, the third word, Witaskuin, and that's like living together on the land, sharing the land. And I am going to go to Alma Putra and make sure I understand these words in a good way, because she was telling me today on the phone that when it has to do with treaty, it's very sacred, you know, because the pipes were raised during the treaties. And so because I am talking around treaty, I need to go there. And so I'm really looking forward to that invitation. So
great.
Okay, so... As long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this heart of mine, as long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this land of mine. They are living documents, First Peoples and the Crown, building blocks of Canada to which we are bound, sacred agreements, the pipe and the pen, brother to brother, peace, good order to men.
As long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this heart of mine, as long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this heart of mine. My Indian brothers of the plains, I shake hands with you today. I shake hands in my heart. God has given us a good day. I trust his eye is upon us, and all that we do will be for the benefit of his children. Lieutenant Governor Morris told this to Chief Ben Pasqua. He was there September 1874 on the Pasqua pictograph. He documented Treaty 4. Now his great-great-granddaughter honors me as her friend. We shake hands in our hearts with Taskuin. But the Indian Act came along, treaty broken across the land. Residential schools stole the children, systemic racism played its hand. And the settlers, we closed our eyes with worries of our own. And the treaties are forgotten, as history has shown. Well, it's time we open up our eyes, promise breakers be no more. This land we call Canada, from shore to shore to shore, is calling us to honor our word, our law, our truth. We are the seventh generation. If not us, then who? As long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this heart of mine, as long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this land of mine, of ours. Getting along with others, Miauchitawin. Making a living, Pimachihautuin. Living together on the land, Witaskuin. We are the people of Turtle Island. The treaty makes us kin. As long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this heart of mine, as long as the grass grows, as long as the sun shines, as long as the river flows through this land of ours.
Wow, that was amazing.
Thank you.
And we're going to come back and talk about that. We're a little overdue for a break, so we'll take our break right now, and we'll be right back. And we've got some other music, but we may or may not play that. I think both Gordon and I are kind of overwhelmed by what we just heard, but we'll be right back. And we are back with Sheena Koops. And that was a song that you wrote yourself.
Yeah.
Performed just now for us with your guitar. It was wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. It really tells the story.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And for people who might be just tuning into the program, our guest today is Sheena Koops, who's a teacher at Fort Capel at Burt Fox School, And we've just really enjoyed the first half of the program, and we want to welcome you again to Human Rights Radio and and everybody else who's tuning in today. It's a wonderful sunny day, and we're really glad you're able to be here. And we've been talking about, in particular, a blog that you've created and some of the background to why you did that. You call it Treaty Walks, and it's at treatywalks.blogspot.ca. It's easy enough to find. And we were talking in the first part of the program about the unsettling things list that you've created, and and you've actually got you've said help me build a list of 100 quote unsettling things. And that's an interesting and people have been contributing to that.
That's probably been the most successful interactive blog post that I've done. So I put the invitation out, help me build a list of 100. And I think I started off with 53 things that I thought were unsettling, like know your treaty number. Like, you know, do you know what treaty you come from? Do you know your treaty story? And then different friends started pitching in with a couple ideas, or read this article, or, you know. And so I think the list is up to 163 or something now. So I have another blog post after that says over 150 unsettling things, the unwieldy, never-ending list or something. Because really, like, there is so much unsettling to do.
Your audience is so large because you've got it on a blog, and so many people are listening to it. But I'm wondering how, you know, in the classroom, you're using this, and I'm thinking of some teachers I know as well that probably will listen to the program today and in the future, and so how do you sort of work around some of these issues in the classroom, and are you using the blog, what do you get back from your students, if I can ask? I know there's probably a lot of questions there, but
oh boy, that's a 10-year project question you've just asked, because I've tried so many different ways of approaching things in the classroom, and I certainly don't have a magic wand or anything. I used to really focus on the anti-racism piece, and so I would use Peggy McIntosh's article, Unpacking White Privilege, or The Invisible Knapsack, I forget the full title. And I just found that it really shut down kids, because they just, and maybe it was that sort of the bully side of anti-racism work, like, I don't know, are you familiar with Jane, what's her last name? Elliot, is it? The lady, the blue eyes, brown eyes videos. Because I was really struggling with this, am I a bully by bringing these up? And my husband sat me down and said, watch this, because I'd never actually watched it. I'd just always, I knew the story of it. And he said, is she a bully? Oh, is she ever? You know, like, she really drives her message. But her speaking points are so clear. So I kind of backed away for a few years. And really, my treaty walks were just starting these, doing something different, like walking to school. Then the kids would ask me, how was your walk today? And it sort of opened up spaces for conversations, kind of like you said, one conversation at a time, or this, you know, this opens a conversation. And I think of a man I met, STF rep in Saskatoon, Michael Gatton, I think his last name is, and he said, you know, one conversation at a time. And I think probably my most successful things in the classroom have been, you know, those one-on-one conversations with students. But some of the unsettling things that we do in our classroom every September, we report live from the Treaty 4 gathering in Fort Capel, because it's right in our backyard. And so I take the grade 10s, and we are journalists, and I take them through a journalism boot camp, and they learn how protocol, like how to talk to an elder and a queue line, a question line, and you know, and then we blog about it. We tweet. We have our own. I'll try to find it for you after. But it's at the Fox at Treaty 4, and
okay.
It's a 4. And then we have a blog as well, kind of piggybacking on my blog. So I don't always use my own blog in the classroom. It's kind of there, and it's a conversation piece. Because I'm trying not to overwhelm kids. I'm trying to be gentle in my opening of the spaces or opportunities. But another thing that we've done is this magazine called Kiddoske Aminowak Pikiskwewak, which means our young people speak. And this was the third edition. We did a leadership edition. We did the healing edition. This was the treaty edition last year. And right now we're working where we've submitted one for the holistic edition. And this is a magazine that Prairie Valley School Division has published for the last 4 years. And our school, our grade 10s have been part of it every year. So to me, this has been a big teaching tool. And some of the kids in this one, because it was about treaties, we were so conscious about it being rigorous research. We wanted it to stand up, you know, as authentic, well-researched material. It wasn't just kind of opinions about the treaties. This is a researched, and so we had to use APA format and all that strict. It was very stressful, but awesome. We have this beautiful thing. And some of my students quoted from my blog, like this one, Statues with Meaning. It takes us through the different statues in Fort Capel, the treaty for statue, which was put up in 1915, which has definitely a European. It talks about the land being ceded and given up. Whereas this one, I think Lloyd Panay is the sculptor, and there's beautiful writings on each side, and it definitely has a First Nations perspective on treaties.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I had blogged about that, so my student was able to use my blog as one of the her references, although because it's a blog, it's not a, you know, you got to check out blogs. So then she had to do other research to back up, you know, but she could use some of the ideas, kind of comparing the language of both the places. So I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah. You know, I've seen an earlier edition of this, and oh. I think it was the leadership one that came out.
Oh, yes. That was maybe the first year.
Yeah. And it's so well produced. The production is beautiful, and you know, the content as well is remarkable. And
we had a professional editor and artist do the layout, and editor Michelle Brass, you know, worked for CBC Radio, and she's the one, that's where I got my journalism boot camp, because we'd done all this education from her with that first leadership edition.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been a remarkable project.
So, you know, are there particular things that you'd like to share from your unsettling mm-hmm. list? I mean, mm-hmm. I've struck by a few of them myself.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
You know, things like we've been doing it today, I guess, in part, but number 13 is participate in a quote unsettling conversation.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, that's maybe what the program's about a little bit, but mm-hmm. there are other mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. interesting things on the list. One mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. go to a ceremony when invited.
Wow. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that really stood out to me, that, you know, and then reading a book like The Arenda Indian Horse, Three-Day Road.
Mm.
I'm kind of skipping around here.
Yeah, for sure.
And ask a kindergartner what it means. This is so wonderful. Ask a kindergartner what it means to keep a promise, then apply that wisdom to keeping treaty promises.
Yeah, wow. One of my friends gave me that one. She's a kindergarten teacher.
Okay.
Claire.
I was wondering where that was, where that came from.
Yeah.
You know,
because kindergartners understand about promise keeping.
Right.
You know, that's so important, and we teach our kids that. But you know, as we get older, you know, it's easier to. Well, life is complicated. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think going back to that simple, the simple promise. Wow, mm-hmm. that's huge.
And then the other thing on the list that really stood out for me was go to a powwow. And you know,
yeah, people, and he said this weekend,
they're one this weekend in Regina, one of the largest ones in North America, I think, and one of the longer running ones in terms of Saskatchewan. And a really tremendous opportunity.
I was fortunate as a little girl that my parents, we went to powwows when I was little, and I'm white farm, you know, farming people, but my parents, my dad was at university here, and I think we went to a Paiapot powwow and to a couple different ones, and I actually met Chief Dan George when I was a little girl.
Really?
You know, and
and
so some of that education I think began with me as just a little person, and when I hear the drums, it's a very comforting, it's as comforting as the bagpipes, because I'm Scottish too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some, when I hear the bagpipes being played in the open, I have to go find out. And when I hear a drum beat, you know, with the singers, I have to go hear, because I know something powerful is happening there. Yeah, so... let me tell you the background to go to a powwow, go to a ceremony, is Dr. Shauneen Pete here at the University of Regina. She's in charge, you know, her portfolio is indigenizing the university, and that just intrigues me. And at the SAFE conference that we were at in October, at the end, she and Dr. Mike Capello were left us with a couple questions. And one of them, I'll say it wrong here, but basically the idea that how are you going to accept the gifts that First Nations people are offering? And she said, we are working so hard to open that door. Like, and so when we invite you to something, would you please come?
Hmm.
You know, like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so today I texted two people and asked for, how do I say these words? Right away they got back to me, and they're so generous that don't be stingy is such a beautiful philosophy. And how are we going to, as white settlers, accept the gifts and then and listen and learn the stories that are already here? This was not an empty land that we came to. That's part, I'm reading a professor out of the University of Alberta who talks about fort pedagogy. And the idea that in Canada we have this mythology of the fort, and there's insiders and there's outsiders. And so how do we jump over those fences? How do we take those fences down? And I really think as white people, settler descendants, like we've got to educate ourselves. It's not First Nations people's job to educate us. Like we need to start educating each other and decolonizing ourselves, and then listening and opening up to the people that are here that wanted to share their stories, their land, their, you know, that we could all make a living together, the beautiful dream of treaty. Like, are we accepting that gift? Or are we just kind of taking what we, you know, what we can get?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, there's one other one on the list that I'm wanting. I'm skipping around. I hope you're okay with that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Number 32 on your list is try the blanket exercise, and that's something from Kairos.
Yes.
And I wonder if you would like to share about that a little bit.
Wow, I've done that. it's a pretty powerful. If you just Google blanket exercise Kairos,
mm-hmm.
You'll find it. It just takes you through. You put out all these big, like, quilts around the classroom or the area, and then there's little cards, and it's kind of a experiential, experiential learning opportunity. And so then there's settlers that come in, and then there's the Indigenous people that are already on the blankets, and then the settlers start giving out cards to the Indigenous people, and so people start dying, and then, you know, and at first there's friendship happening, but then, so it basically tells the story of colonization. And then the First Nations people who don't die from epidemics, and all the you know, the consequences of colonization, who don't die in residential school, then they just keep getting put far, the blankets start getting folded up. And then pretty soon people are just on these little pockets of blankets. And then the settlers are kind of have free range. So it's a very humbling experience. And then there's little statements that are read, starting with the, what is it, the 1763 proclamation. What's that called? Royal Proclamation.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's one of the first things that's read that says, we are allowed to come here and... I'm not quoting that right, but it, yeah, and just to read our history and then to embody it, you mm-hmm. know, and this person is a settler and this, and it doesn't matter your eye color for the exercise, you're just playing that role, and to embody the story of Canada, it's pretty touching. And once we did it with a group from Japan at the Calling Lake Center, and they were just blown away. We were translating all the way through. And they said this has happened in Japan as well to the Ainu people. I'm not saying that right, but yeah. So this is a worldwide story that's happened, colonization. Yeah.
And you know that's takes us to another discussion that I wanted to mention is that what you've been talking about throughout the program is so universal. It's not just about here in Regina or Treaty 4 or Fort Capel, but it really is a universal kind of discussion that needs to be had. And we're reminded of that really because of the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that it's so important that people learn about that. It's a recent bit of our history, but it's so important that that be respected and and understood and discussed in our communities.
Mm-hmm. No, and I find it so. I appreciate, Gord, you brought these books out to my classroom. Was it maybe 3 years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
2 years ago, and then I started reading through the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, and I was blown away. You know, I highly recommend. It's just a short little document. I have it on a poster as well that I think you also left for me, and I had it outside my door. But and the fact that when First Nations people go to the United Nations with what do you call it, with questions about the law and stuff, they win, right? Because treaty is lawful. And so that, to me, that is so eye-opening.
Yeah.
That this is, you know, treaty is respected internationally because it was nation to nation agreements. And so therefore the United Nations recognizes First Peoples as nations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now in our, you know, as people are discussing and debating about things like resource development the articles of the UN Declaration are really coming into play when people are going to court around a lot of the issues involved there. So it is important that whatever role people have in their work life and, you know, in terms of business or community groups or civic governments or whatever it is, get a better understanding what this is all about. So it's a good little reference point.
Absolutely, yeah. So, well, as Canadians, you know, shouldn't we know this? Like, this isn't just, I remember hearing Ovid Mercredi say that justice for one is justice for all. That idea that there shouldn't be winners and losers in justice, right? It should be, and so I think we need to, as settler descendants, we need to know the rights, because I have these rights. My privilege gives me these rights, but do my treaty brothers and sisters have these rights?
So you've included in your list a reference that it's actually point number 47 to the idea of people ordering something called 100 Years of Loss, the residential school system in Canada.
Yes.
And that's available free.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So, you know, I haven't, and I have ordered it, and it is in my classroom. and I have not used it yet.
Oh, okay.
My daughter had a one-month contract working with the people that produce that. And so, you know, there's so much material out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and good. We need to, yeah, so I would say, I know I referenced it and sent it to my intern, Jade Ivan, who has a student who's really focusing on residential school, and so we were kind of sharing the source, but I haven't used it full out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So much to do.
And within your own community in Fort Capel, and particularly with the relationship with people that who are on reserve and going to school on reserve, is there a lot of interaction that you're able to speak to? Is it, or are people kind of living their own lives in their own communities and not interacting? How is that working these days, and from your perspective in the community?
I would just speak from my own experience.
Sure.
And I would say more and more I'm understanding how to be in relationship, to be in mm-hmm. a. And I kind of think of it as a treaty relationship, because treaty was supposed to be brother to brother, and mm-hmm. that we actually became family.
Mm-hmm.
And so so I've been to memorial feasts at Pasqua.
Mm-hmm.
And I know now, I got teased this last time because I had my own little, like I had my feast kit, you know, where you're supposed to bring spoons and this and that, and I was just like all decked out, and the one lady was like, oh, look at Sheena, she just knows what to do now, you know, and they were teasing me, but it felt good, you know, and I knew to wear a skirt, because that in that community, yep. that's a respectful thing, and I actually had extra skirts, and so some of my friends, the girls were borrowing my skirts, you know, and it just felt so awesome to be kind of like Auntie Sheena that had the skirts, and then, you know, from my closet.
Yeah.
Another, the lady that I reference in the song when I say Chief Ben Pasqua's great-great-granddaughter, that's Keitha Brass, and she's someone that I've been walking with for 8-9 years. She used to be the director of the Outreach Center in Fort Capel, and I would say she's like a big sister, and so there's doors open there for authentic relationship,
mm-hmm.
even though we don't talk for a long time, you know, busy lives, and so I'm feeling myself that there are more and more authentic relationships happening, and my daughters all have, I think they will, I have three girls, and they all have friendships that are what I might call treaty friendships, where it's both sides of the handshake, and it's so authentic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like these are kids that are doing these things, making a living together. They're, you know, getting along together. They're, you know, working side by side in such a good way. Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful. Yeah.
Sheena, we're so grateful that you've been able to come in today, and
thank you.
You got such a unique message.
Yeah,
oh.
and what I'm hoping is that this won't be the last time we have you here on the program.
Very
and
good.
Maybe sometime you can bring some of your students in.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah.
Give them the opportunity to be on air as well and
yes.
share their stories.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
thank
and
you
I,
so
and
much.
And I do challenge people to maybe pick their own 15 unsettling things. I have a blog post where I list my 15 things, so I put that out there to, 15 in 2015.
All right. Thank you so much.
As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For information on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, founder of Amnesty International, said, "Only when the last prisoner of conscience has been freed, the last torture chamber has been closed, the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a reality for the world's people, will our work be done."